Hey, it's Mike Robb. All eyes on Marvel as Agent Carter premieres this week. And we talked to actress Hayley Atwell and all those people who helped make her look fabulous. Plus, it's been a decade since the very first librarian TV movie on TNT. And now the new series is a huge hit. We talked to the cast who tells you just what you may be missing. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Marvel's Agent Carter gives us our first television look at the earliest days of the Marvel Universe. Starting, of course, with the first Captain America movie, through the second, and in that digital short as well. And show writer Eric Pearson explained to me how the whole process began.
When we made the short, we had no idea we'd turn into a television show, and that wasn't even our agenda. It was just to tell it. We knew we had a valuable asset with Hayley Atwell playing Peggy Carter. Everyone from Cap to Winter Soldier to Armanzola, all were in the modern day, from being frozen or experimentation. Even the Red Skull might be roaming the area. How do we tell a Peggy Carter story? So we said, let's go back to 1946. Let's pick it up approximately a year after Steve's demise, and see what Peggy Carter's doing. And having such a talented, committed actress like Hayley, after we completed the short and showed it to the people at Disney, they also knew we had something very special and said, why don't we make it a television show? And that's why we're here again this year.
Director Louis Esposito says this is a little different side of the Peggy Carter we've seen so far.
I think what's equally exciting now is not only seeing Peggy Carter at work, you'll see her at home. And not in any of the previous Captain Americas, you don't see that. You see Peggy out on a mission, maybe one time with a red dress on, potentially meeting her Captain America. But with this series, because it centers around her, we can spend a lot of time with her both in the office and at home, and how she deals with her life. Does she want to find another love? What friends does she have? And how do they relate to each other? And what is she telling them? She can't tell them she's a super spy. So I think that will all make for interesting storytelling.
Agent Carter is, of course, actress Hayley Atwell, who says from the beginning it's been a great ride.
It's a dream. It's so surreal. You know, I was so lucky to get Captain America. Such a big turning point in my career and for my personal life, and it changed my life. And so I have incredibly fond memories of that in the first place. But now to be 4 years later, still with Peggy, and just even bigger and deeper and fuller and richer, it's just heaven. And with these guys, you know, I'm in good hands.
Hayley also feels pretty confident about what lies ahead for the series.
Knowing the panel of writers and knowing kind of the general arc of where we want her to be and what audiences want, and having to kind of go beyond their own expectations to make it a great show means it's going to be a lot of exciting challenges for me as an actress as well as Peggy herself.
For all of us who saw Winter Soldier, we pretty much know where things end for Peggy Carter. But for Hayley, was it unusual playing a character that way?
I think it's easier in the sense that I would always hope that Peggy had a fulfilling life, and know that she did, and she was able to have a family and able to live a very rich life before she dies. Just means that this is now a matter of filling in the gaps, and how exciting can we make her life as a great tribute to the woman that she ends up becoming.
And of course, there are still ties to Captain America.
He's never far from her thoughts, and he's very much part of what has formed who she is now. So I think that's something that she'll always take with her. So she's grieving.
Creating an action-adventure series set in a world with no technology could be a problem. But not so for showrunners Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas.
I kind of love it. I was saying I love...
No cell phones?
No cell phones. I love no cell phones. Because when you're writing any sort of procedural... With this, it's like, oh, they could just call and find out, or they could just Google it. So having those restrictions is actually really nice.
It also creates other types of tensions for you know, the fact that you know something and you want to tell somebody, but you can't. You know, I mean, there's just so many fun things you can do with the less technology. And then you have the Marvel technology, and it'll be fun.
Marvel's had a rich cast of characters from the 40s, including a number of superheroes. And my question was, any chance we might see them pop up in Agent Carter?
Certainly. Those are options that are on the table. We have no specific plans, but I would say we're very open to that. Marvel is very open to that. I think they're being very generous with, you know, whatever is the best story idea, as long as it's not conflicting with what they're currently doing. So everything's open right now.
Marvel's Agent Carter, with new episodes every Tuesday, and of course you can always see more at abcgo.com. Here's what's breaking right now in the world of pop culture. No surprise that Disney plans a lot of promotion for Star Wars The Force Awakens over the next 11 months. One of those forms of promotion will be short-form shows about Star Wars. Done on the multi-channel network Maker Studios, various web celebrities will be part of the new features. You should look for those to be rolling out sometime over the next few weeks, and of course they'll continue until Star Wars opens in theaters on December 18th. Biggest question of the new year continues to be, when's Game of Thrones coming back? But more importantly, what's the next move for HBO? And the answer to that is a new feature on Thrones, which will debut on the network on February 8th. There should be at least a few scenes from the upcoming season in the special. By the way, as we told you a couple of weeks back, Game of Thrones again holds the honor as being the most pirated show of the year. Torrent Freak reports that over 8 million people downloaded the season finale online. Marvel is heading back into the weekly comics arena with a spinoff from The Death of Wolverine. The new title is called Wolverines. It'll be launching in a few weeks, and it spins directly out of the series Death of Wolverine, the Weapon X program. Actress Jennifer Saunders says she's finished the first draft for a big screen version of Absolutely Fabulous, and that the film will be made this year. The feature, of course, based on the TV series, it began over two decades ago, was last seen with a number of specials through the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, the last one being in 2012. After months and months of delay, the WWE has announced their network will be launching both in the United Kingdom and Ireland during this month. The network will be available for just about $15 US in the UK and for about the same amount in Ireland as well. The official kickoff date for the launch will be January 19th. Just about every commercial break on regular television seems to feature a trailer for another upcoming movie. So do you wonder how much they spend on those? Well, last year alone, trailers cost studios a little over $3.3 billion for those to appear on television. And what movie spent the most? Well, for 2014, that honor went to Godzilla, racking up an ad bill of about $61.8 million. Also on the top 10 list, X-Men Days of Future Past, The Lego Movie, Neighbors, and 300, Rise of an Empire.
The point.
The TNT drama series The Librarians actually began as a series of made-for-TV movies almost a decade ago. After three films, it all evolved into the regular series, which now has a new cast of characters, including Rebecca Romijn, who told me what the core of the show really is.
Well, our job is to run around the world and collect dangerous magical artifacts to keep them out of the wrong hands. And there are all these, you know, people chasing us and in pursuit, and so I am sort of there to fight them off.
And her role?
I play Colonel Eve Baird, a counterterrorism expert in the military, who's an investigator, and I get invited to work at the library. I don't know why. I don't necessarily want the job, but I've received this mysterious invitation, and I am the guardian of the librarian. He doesn't want me either. Noah Wiley's character doesn't want me around. And then we discover that the librarian and the librarians in training are all in danger of being killed off, and so I become the guardian to the librarians in training as well.
Now, you need to understand that not all the characters join in this adventure willingly, as explained by Christian Kane.
Without giving too much away, we're all kind of forced into this thing, so we really don't know what's going on. And that's the beauty of it, is we all have sort of special abilities, but they're not magic abilities. Some of them become magic because of the world we get thrown into. But we're all finding out what magic is. We didn't even know it existed, and all of a sudden we're thrown into the library. And, of course, Noah Wiley's character, Flynn Carson, he's been there. He knows all this stuff. So it's just second. It's back of hand to him. It's a whole new world for us. And so that's what I love about this this show, is the fact that not only are we jumping into this world and getting to take this journey. That's what John Rogers is he's so brilliant when it comes to creating that. He takes you in the living room, you know what I mean? Like he takes you along with us. So you're taking this journey with us. And I think that was a great thing. That's why I loved working with him so much on Leverage, was the fact that the audience, you know, everybody sitting at home was part of a team, you know. I mean, it was a five-man team, but there was also one more person, which was the person watching the show. And John's been brilliant with doing that with Leverage, and now he's done it again with The Librarian. So you're taking this journey, even if you're a fan of the show and the movies have been around for 10 years, he's still walking you along with us, and so you get to enter this whole magical new world with us. And I appreciate that, working for not only a showrunner, but an unbelievable writer like him.
Lindy Booth plays a character with an unusual ability that really isn't far from reality.
Cassandra is a synesthete, and what that means is all of her senses are sort of crosswired in her brain. So she sees numbers as colors, science, music, math, smells like breakfast. So it's all sort of crosswired. And it is a real thing. And I did a lot of research about it because I couldn't believe that it was a real thing. And the funniest one was I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play this character, she's got synesthesia. And he's like, what does that mean? And I said, well, it's, you know, she sees numbers as colors. And he was like, oh, why do that? I was like, what do you mean you do that? He's like, that's a thing? And I was like, yeah, it's a thing. It's called synesthesia. And he was like, I had no idea that was, like, not a normal thing, that it's an actual special thing. And so, like, people have this. And Cassandra does have a very, like, sort of extraordinary version of it. Hers is much more extreme because it's television and we do things like that. But it's amazing. It's really, it's a cool thing to sort of play with because it lets me play. It lets me sort of express things in different ways that you don't normally get to do with a character who just sees things through normal eyes.
Lindy explained to me that Cassandra is the one cast member that really embraces the whole quest.
Yeah, well, I think one of these things that's really special for her is that she's seen it as a curse. Her whole life she wishes she hadn't had this because to her she's weird, she can't make friends, her parents have sort of don't understand her. So this is a curse. This is like the worst thing that could have happened to her. And when Flynn walks up to her for the first time and looks at her and says, not only you're okay, but you're exceptional, it's like the floodgates open and she's just like, have I found my place in the world? Like this is a real place where I can go and not only be accepted, but excel and sort of be myself for the first time. And she's the one that goes to it with the joy of, like, a child. She goes to it and is like, magic, what? This is so awesome. And so she is the sort of everyone has a different reaction because we're all very different people, obviously. But Cassandra is the one that's sort of most psyched to be there. She is like, library, magic, relics, awesome, totally in. Yeah, from day one.
So do you need to see the films to enjoy the series? Not necessarily, says Christian.
You can jump right into it. Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's like that was one of the things that I love the show 24, but that was one of the things, if you missed an episode, you were out. And it's not like this, you know what I mean? Plus, I'm sure TNT will do a pretty good job of showing, especially since it's actually airing on the day 10-year anniversary of the first Librarian movie. You'll be able to catch up if you want to, but you don't have to. That's what I'm saying. It's a brand new show, and you're going to enjoy it either way.
New episodes of The Librarians every Sunday on TNT. And catch up right now at TNTdrama.com.
Good Point.
That does it for the podcast. You know the drill. We're back in a few days on ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory. We'll look at the new sci-fi series 12 Monkeys, Can It Make It From Movie to TV, and a lot more, of course. And in the meantime, find out what we're up to on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under The Point Radio. See you back here in a few days.
Get the